I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. That sealed the deal for me. That God did have plans for me. In spite of the trouble and the construction phase I was going through and the tearing down and rebuilding because of someone else doing this to me, I had to straighten out a few nails and pull out a few boards and I had to relay some things. But I was in the construction phase of my life, and I, just to know that God sealed the deal. There is an expected end. I have thoughts of peace to you. And so if God's got thoughts for peace for me, I don't care now what you think. I don't care what you do, because I know the deal. In the end, I'll have peace. I'll have joy. I'll have long suffering. I'll have all the fruit of the Spirit, because God, every good gift and every perfect gift cometh from above. And so we need things that seal the deal. I don't know what your scripture may be. I'm sure you have a favorite scripture. And so that one has been one of mine throughout the years, that God will give me an expected end no matter what I go through. In the Old Testament, they used the word seal is used quite often as well, and it was used mainly with kings. And you might remember Queen Esther and how that Naaman had said he's going to get all the Jews killed. You remember? And he had set this up. And so Esther goes to King Ahasuerus and says, you know, she had favor with him, and says, I want you to change that law, because it had never been sealed. I want you to change that law, and I want you to write that the Jews have the right to live. They have the right to defend themselves even, and to rise up and protect themselves. And he said, well, what? Which I think I got the scripture here. I don't know if I do or not. Yeah, here it is. Yeah, Esther 8 and 8. He said, write ye also for the Jews as it liketh you. You just tell me what to say, Esther. And in the king's name, use my name, and seal it with the king's ring. For the writing which is written in the king's name and sealed with the king's ring may no man reverse. And so he said the words, the scribe wrote it, and basically Esther narrated it to him. They wrote it down there, and the king went, and I don't know, there'll be the ring on his finger, but he went, and there was no way to change that. Even Daniel went into the pit. You remember, they threw him in there because of the law of the Medes and Persians, which cannot be changed because it was sealed. But the God that we serve was able to preserve him against that evil seal. But this seal here was one that she was changing the fate of the Jews, and the king sealed it. I am here to tell you, even in Carlos, Louisiana tonight, I serve a king that's got a seal. I serve somebody who sealed the deal for me, and that no man can change my fate. Nobody can pluck me out of his hand. I am his, and I belong to him. And I'm not going to let anybody or any situation change that. Only me can change that. So in the next few minutes, I want to talk about the seal for you and I. Ephesians 1 and 11, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance. Whether you know it or not, heaven is an inheritance. The things of God are an inheritance. You know what inheritance are? How many of you worked for your inheritance? Let me see your hands. Nobody worked to get their inheritance from their parents. They gave it to you. They gave it to you. I could not do enough works in this life to earn heaven or grace or mercy. He gave it to me. In whom we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted after that ye have heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, after, see, it's more to it than just believing. After that ye have believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. promise, which is the inheritance of our, the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption day of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. And I want to explain this little passage of scripture. For after he said, you've heard the word of truth, which is the gospel of our salvation, then you believe what you hear, faith coming by hearing, and hearing of the word of God from a preacher. And once you've heard the word of God, you believe it. But you just believing it will not save you. You are not sealed because you believe. You're sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise. Now, many people, including a lot of denominations, misinterpret this with their own theology and think that God puts you in some kind of Ziploc bag and now you're sealed and you can go out and do whatever you want to do and sin as much as you want to. And at the end of times, he gets you back out of the Ziploc bag and say, oh, you're preserved. Oh, you're just as God. That's all I remember is the good things you do. The Bible says he'll judge you by the deeds you did on earth. Period. That's what he does. That's what he does. So they're misinterpreting this word about being sealed. What it means is that he put his stamp, he put his authenticity upon us. He's not talking about preserving us until some future day where he gets us out of an envelope of the Holy Ghost and declares us, enter thou in. But we know that because he says, let everyone that names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. We've already read that. So the king's seal is that word of truth which cannot be reversed. And the seal of the promise regarding our inheritance is yet to come. The Holy Ghost is not your inheritance. It is not your inheritance. The Holy Ghost is good, but what it is the earnest of your inheritance. If you ever go to buy something, car, whatever, they say, give me a down. That's what the Holy Ghost is. It is a down payment that you now are entitled to the rest of it. And so the Holy Ghost is an entitlement that once he seals you, you have now, you seal the deal. If you don't make it, it's going to be your fault. You sealed the deal. When you got the Holy Ghost, all you got was a taste of the pie to come. That's right. That's what it said. The Holy Ghost is a taste of the power of the worlds to come. What you got there and you're like, I don't know what something came over me. That's nothing. That is a taste. All he did was tease you with a taste of what there is to come. That's all it is. But you got the seal now that says, I'm his. I belong to Jesus, and Jesus belongs to me. Now, no man can take, it's yours, and nobody can stop you. Nobody, he was telling Timothy, no matter what you go through, no matter who comes, who leaves, who stays, who cusses you, who doesn't cuss you, who blesses you and then curse you, it doesn't matter. The deal is sealed when you get the Holy Ghost. The only way you can be lost is you do it. Praise the Lord. A taste of the powers of world to come. When you possess that king's seal, the Holy Ghost is the king's seal that no man can reverse, just like it was in the Old Testament. It says that I can have everything that Christ has. We are heirs and joint heirs to the kingdom of God. Now, if you're going to live for God, every one of you, listen close, it's got the Holy Ghost. The seal must be visible. I can fax them all day long, put my hand over the seal, and I say, I see his name. They said he died on this day, but no authenticity. You have got to show the seal. When you're out at how you act, the way you carry yourself, your countenance, all of these things shows the seal. So that God, does God want to say, well, that's mine? Or is he embarrassed to say, well, I'm still work in progress. And I understand it. We're all being perfected. I understand that. But we ought to know enough of the things we do wrong to quit doing them. To quit doing them. And show people the seal, the Holy Ghost. Now watch, Ephesians 4:29. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. And I'm here to tell you that's all kinds of communication, whether it be sexual, verbal, or anything else. No corrupt communication should proceed out of your mouth. But that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Hallelujah. Edifying is an edifice is to build up. I'm tired of people tearing me down. I don't like being around people that tear me down. I refuse to be around people that tear me down. If you want to build me up, I'll be your friend. If you want to tear me down, I'll so long. I'll find somebody who wants to build me up. Hallelujah. Y'all build me up because you come back to hear me. And grieve not. Now, this is really important. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. Why? It's your seal. Whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption when you get the rest of it. Grieve not the Holy Spirit. Don't smear the seal. Don't damage the seal, because you've got to show the seal to get in. Hallelujah. So he said, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor. How many know what clamor is? Well, me and Brother Webster looked it up. Clamor. Clamor is an outcry of dissatisfaction. Not happy. Dissatisfied. Go somewhere else. That's clamor. That's what clamor is. Wrath, anger, clamor. People show dissatisfaction because of those first two. And evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. You know what malice is? How many of you know what malice is? Surely I've taught that enough. You know what malice is. Malice is when, Malice is when you have pleasure in other people being hurt. Have you ever said, oh, that was good for him? Oh, he had that coming. He deserved that. And you get this little bit of pleasure out of, see, it's not right. It's not right. David had no pleasure in King Saul's death. In fact, he went and got his bones and gave him a decent burial. He said, see, this messes the seal up, folks. This is what I'm talking about. You ruin the seal of the Holy Ghost. It says right here, grieve not the Holy Spirit, whereby you are sealed in the day of redemption. Don't smear the seal with these things. Hallelujah. Ephesians 4 and 32. And be, see, now here's what keeps the seal valid. And be ye kind one to another. Tenderhearted. How many of you know what tenderhearted means? Yeah. Tenderhearted is not a crybaby. Tenderhearted is not a pushover. Tenderhearted is having compassion and being sensitive to the feelings of others. Wow. Tenderhearted is putting yourself in their shoes. It's being easily pricked when other people are moved. It's to cry when they cry and not even know why they're crying. Because you care for them and you love them. And just to see you hurting hurts me. I don't even know what you're hurting about, but it hurts me. Tender heart. This keeps the seal of the Holy Ghost showing that I'm like Him. This is the authenticity of the Holy Ghost right here. By this shall all men know that you're my disciple. Because you have love one to another. 2 Corinthians 1:22, who hath also sealed us and given us the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. You see, if what God seals us with is inside, and what we do is walk out what's really inside of us. So that I know people, if you provoke somebody to wrath, there are going to be some things come out that's not really out of their heart, because they're, you've angered them. You've provoked them to wrath. Even God said, you provoked me to wrath. And then he repented what he had done. But day after day after day after day, you can't keep saying, well, you did this to me. You've got to say, this is what's in me. This is what's in me. And I've got to change what's in me so I can keep the seal. Even John the Baptist spoke about the Holy Ghost being the seal. He said this, "And what he hath seen and heard, that he testifieth, and no man receiveth his testimony." He came and they refused him. And he says, "I'm just speaking what I was told to speak. He that hath received his testimony hath set," S-E-T, stamped, "to his seal that God is true." The Holy Ghost is not a stamp where I can a license to sin, because he said, God forbid. It is a stamp that now he knows me. Having this seal that God knows who his people are. "For he whom God hath sent speaketh the words of God, for God giveth not the Spirit," you see, "by measure unto him." My. And as I close tonight, as I come, the Holy Ghost leads us and guides us into all truth. Right? Now listen close. There's two types of shadows. Two types of shadows. There's the shadow of my coming. In Hebrews, he said, the law was a shadow of his coming. So the shadow got there before the truth got there. And Jesus arrived. The shadow, a shadow of his coming. But then there is the shadow of my leaving. Two types of shadows. The shadow of me coming and the shadow of where I have been. And if we're not careful as a church, we'll keep serving the shadow of where God once was and not what he's doing now. We won't be open to what God wants to do now because we're still serving the shadow of where he once was. And never move as the Holy Ghost leads us and guides us. When he moves, you've got to move. Or else you're in the shadow. I don't want to be in the shadow. No. I don't want to be in the shadow. I want to be in the flow of things. I want to be when the Holy Ghost moves, I'm moving with it. Because why? It's in me. In him is no variableness or shadow of turning. Let's get out of the shadows of what things used to be. And let's be open to what God is doing today. Would you stand tonight? Seal the deal. Seal the deal. I'm going to live for God come what may. It's not going to mess up my plans. I'm not going to let you determine my destiny. My destiny is already determined. The deal is sealed. Let's sing. Hallelujah. I challenge every one of you tonight, somewhere along this journey, you have got to quit worrying about what other people think, what other people say. Because you're in bondage to them. They can't save you. Only He can save you. And for me, the deal is sealed. It's sealed. Hallelujah. God bless you tonight. I love you. 8:30. Careful going.